failures also because they are trying to carry their own burdens without the help of the only real helper," said one of the ladies.
"Oh, yes, of course," spoke out both ministers. "That is really the foundation source of their troubles, as of most others."
Said Fay Huntington, "Let's write a book about them, one that will help others as well as them. We can tell their story, but tell it in such a way that they won't even recognize themselves. They will only know that it fits somehow and helps."
"We might do that," said Grace. "We all know them so well. I'd like to write up the little girl and suggest to her what to do. If I did, I'd call her Margaret. I like that name."
"It's a good idea," said the wife of one of the ministers. "I just long to give that mother a hint."
Said Pansy, "Let's do it. I like the thought. I'll mother the whole thing, arrange the chapters, and plan out the work, if you will each take the people in whom you are most interested, and be as plain-spoken as will do, and be as helpful as you can."
"Agreed," said they all, "and we have honestly and earnestly done it." Because the family whom we knew so well were not named Moore, and did not live in a town like the one described, and did not name their children Margaret and Weston and Johnny, they may not know that we mean them. But if they will see that the Moore family of whom we write made the same mistakes that they are making, and got out of trouble by the very road that they may take if they will, it is all we ask. No, one thing more. Dear friends, every one, we call on you to help us. Read the book carefully, lend it to your friends, ask the Lord Jesus to make it helpful to every boy or girl or man or woman who touches it, and may his blessing be upon us all in our effort to make less trouble and more sunshine in this world. Your friends, Pansy, Grace, Paraniti, Mrs. C. M. L., Fay Huntington, C. M. L., G. R. A. End of Preface. Chapter 1 of A Sevenfold Trouble by Pansy and Her Friends. Chapter 1. An Unhappy Household by Pansy. Margaret was washing the dishes, making a vigorous clash and splatter, and setting down the cups so hard that had they been anything but the good, solid ironstone which they were, they would certainly have suffered under the treatment. Margaret was noisy in all things, but today the usual vigor of movement was manifestly increased by ill-humor. There was an ominous setting of a pair of firm lips, and all her face was in a frown. The knives and forks, when their turn came, seemed to increase her ire. She rattled and flung them about with such reckless disregard of consequences that there landed presently a lovely tricolored globe of foam in the center of John's arithmetic, over which he was at this moment gloomily bending.
"Look here," he said, half fiercely, half comically. "Quit that, will you? This thing is dry enough, I know, but it will take more than soap-suds to dampen it."
"Take your book out of my way, then. What do you suppose she would say to its being on the table and you bending double over it?"
"She may say just exactly what she pleases. It will stay on the table until I get ready to take it off."
"Oh, yes, you're very brave until you hear her coming, and then you are as meek as Moses."
"Now, I say, Meg, that's mean in you, when you know well enough that all I'm after is to try to keep the peace."
"Peace? There isn't enough of that article left in this house to make it worth while to try to save it. I'm sick to death of the whole thing."
And the knives bumped about against a plate in the dishpan with such force that the plate rebelled and flew into three pieces in its rage.
"There goes another dish," exclaimed West, from the window corner where he was busily whittling. "That makes the 17th this week, doesn't it? Meg, you are awful, and no mistake."
Then Margaret's face flamed, and her angry words burst their bounds.
"I wish you would just mind your own business, Weston Moore. You think because you are 18 months and 7 days older than I